C-H-A-K-A-H. And it means to wait earnestly. It speaks about a passion that you have where you're looking forward to something earnestly. With expectation. Like a little child on Christmas Eve. They're looking around for the present, right? Earnestly. And then there's another word, the fourth word, liat. Now remember, some of these words are used only a few times. The main words are the word kovaf. The fourth word is the word liat. L-E-Y-A-D, which means to serve. Now we know that the English word wait also can mean that. Then you say, waiter, right? And the waiter comes and wait on you. And it comes and serve you. So there is an aspect even of the English word wait. And that is close to the English word wait as serving. As a waiter waiting to serve you, to take your orders, to take your instructions. That's the word liat, which means to serve. And then there's a fifth Hebrew word, yakal. Y-A-C-H-A-L, yakal. Which means to hope. To hope. And it is as one waiting with hope that some things are coming up. And it reminds me of a story of this dog whose master died and in a certain place, and then the dog it came in the rear digest years and years ago, and this dog would go to this place where the master died and sit down there and keep waiting and waiting as if one day the master will appear. The dog still had hope. And so it's the word waiting with hope. And then there's the word 2, 4, 6, the sixth word for wait, which is the word amad, A-M-A-D. Now the word amad means to stand still, but it's slightly different from the second one, dawam, which means to stand still, because the first one, dawam, means to stand still, to stop all your activities. Here is the word amad, which means to stand still, but it means to stand still steadfastly. And it reminds me about some of the mighty men of David in Chronicles, where one of the mighty men, when everyone was fleeing and running away from the enemy, one of the mighty men stood on some bean patch somewhere and held his ground while everybody was running, and he started slaughtering the enemy, and it says he slaughtered the enemy until his hand cleaved to his sword. It was like they were one, stuck together. And it says because of him, the battle turned around. Because somebody was steadfast and did not run and flee from the enemy. Remember, Christian life can be very simple if you have one little characteristic. What's that? Perseverance. Another word, modern word that we can say is the word stickability. Do you know that you stick to something that God has spoken to you without wavering? An atomic bomb can explode in 11, right? Earthquakes can come and go at 9.8 on a Richter scale. And all you have to do is just keep standing and persevering in what God asks you. You will in the end come true. Many Christians fail not because they lack faith. They lack patience and perseverance. They quit too fast. I remember one of you was sharing with me a testimony of how this young man, you know, young Christian, I think it's a true story, and how he really wanted a breakthrough from God, and he was jobless and had nothing in life to look forward to, and everything seemed to be failing, and in the end, that young person commits suicide. 2 weeks later, a letter arrived offering the person a position. He took his life 2 weeks too soon. The secret of the Christian life is actually very easy. Just stick to it. Don't be moved by men or mountains or people or demons. or devils or organizations. You just know what God tells you to do, you stick to it. That's it. Because in the end, God always comes through. Amen. And so that's steadfastness, amat. Then there's a strange one. This is a strange one. 2, 4, 6, 7. Number 7 is a strange one. The word sabath. T-S-A-B-A. Sabath. It means to war. Say, wow, how can the word wait into war? It means waiting as in warring. You're out there waiting for a command from your commander-in-chief. It is like you're an advanced troop and you're set in position. You're sent forth in position. And you're there to make war. And you're waiting, but your waiting is different. Your waiting is for the signal to make war. Not to serve, but to make war. To conquer on behalf or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another word. Number 8 is the word safaf. T-S-A-P-H-A-H. Safaf, which means to watch. You're waiting and you're watching. Like a watchman on a tower. And he's waiting, but he's watching at the same time. He's keeping an eye on everything that happens. That is safaf. And there's the word kwava, we put it last. Then there's the word sabah. S-A-B-A-R. Sabah. Which means to wait, but it also has a meaning of to look for. Now, it's close to the word safaf, which means to watch. But the word sabaf means that you are there waiting, but you're actively looking for something. And like for example, if some of you misplace some things in the church and somebody is supposed to take you home and you say, wait for me. And why do you ask him to wait? Because you're looking for whatever you're supposed to take home with you. Could be your keys, your Bible or something. And you're not just standing like a watchman, but you're actually looking around for those things. And everything is in a wait mode. But you're looking for something. And it's close to what the Bible would say, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's close to that word, where you're actually actively waiting, doing something. Then there's the word shama, which is the word wait, but it means to beware, to take heed. The word shama, it's something like when America now they have a code, then they said there is a yellow alert, orange alert, and red alert for terrorists once in a while. And so when the president of the United States say it's orange alert, it's not just so everyone will say, oh yeah, we're orange now. No, when they're orange alert, some of the security forces would have to be activated. And then if they go down to yellow alert, then those security forces would be dispersed. They don't need to be on call or on duty. It's going to affect the jobs of many people each time they go to a different alert. Or if a Star Trek fan, red alert. And everything goes red because the Klingons have just come to attack you. And so, red alert, right? Or the Cardassians have just come round the border. And so, it's a signal that danger is all around. And you got to be alert. So, the word shama means actually to be alert. To be alert of everything around you. So, it's a different form of wait. And then we have the word sharaf, which is close to the word serve or liyat. Sharaf is spelled S-H-A-R-A-T-H, But it means to serve or to minister. And it's deeper than the word liat, which means to wait like a waiter. But here it means to minister as if you are ministering like in worship unto God. So when you're waiting upon God with worship and songs, you are sharah before God. You're waiting with praise and worship. You're ministering unto God. And then, of course, you have the word kwavaf, which is the one found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, which means to be bound or gathered in union together. And that's the most common word for the word wait in the Hebrew. Now, I've given you 12 words for the word wait, and so you cannot say, you know, when you leave this place today, you say, you know, I'm supposed to wait on God, I don't know what to do when I wait. You got 12 different words there. Different aspects of waiting on God. Don't think waiting is just waiting on God, it's just like waiting for a bus. It's more than that. But what we want to explore is all these different facets of the word wait. They can actually be clustered together. I haven't spent time clustering them together. You'll find that they all 12 can be clustered into four groups. There's one set of them, I'll let you go and do that homework yourself. There is a group of them, three of them, could be classified in the word waiting on God, kwawaf. And give you a clue, all the stillness one, and all the ceasing, and all this are there. Kwawaf, together with kwawaf, wait on God. And then, there's a different group that can be classified into the one with fly, mount up your wings as eagle. Remember the four seasons. All the 12 Hebrew words for wait can be classified in the four categories. Waiting as we know it in that stillness, flying, running, and walking. And when you classify them, you realize they all fall within the four seasons. There's a whole group that talks about, when you have words that talk about watching and seeing, it's eagle vision. You're mounting wings like eagle. And then there's a group that talks about running. And always running talks about carrying on a vision. There's an activity involved. And then, of course, walking, which is a normal pace of carrying on things, ministering. So they're all the different seasons of the word wait. Now let's explore the word kwawa, because that is the root of it. Where you start with waiting, then you mount out your wings like eagles, fly, and then you run, and then you walk, and then you start the whole cycle again, you wait. And so let's look at the word kwawa. The word kwawa is used in the book of Genesis chapter 1. But it never uses the word translate as wait, it translates it as something else, which I want to point out to you. In chapter 1, verse 9, I'll put the Hebrew word in so you can understand where it is. In Genesis 1, verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be kwavaf into one place, and let the dry land appear. And God called the dry land and the kwavaf of the waters, He called seas. And God saw that it was good. So the word kwavaf, which is translated wait in Isaiah 40 verse 31, speaks in the Hebrew of a gathering together with. So waiting on God, as you can see very clearly, waiting on God, ties to the word in verse 31, renew their strength. Where you exchange your weaknesses for God's strength. You exchange all your humanity for His divinity. Where you exchange all your unworthiness and unrighteousness for His righteousness and His holiness. So, waiting on God It's not just a stillness, but an exchange is taking place. You are, the word kwawa speaks about gathering together, but the picture in the Hebrew is a very pictorial language. The picture is entwining together.